with take 281. Another solo pod. So Keeks did a solo pod last week. I'm doing a solo pod this week. I think basically Keeks and I are just avoiding doing the Q draft. So who knows? Maybe next week we'll get a solo pod from Becky. Could be fun. I would definitely tune in. So Becky, if you're listening to this, let's have you do a solo pod next week. Keeks and I will take another week to sit out. Anyways, a mixed bag today. So here's the agenda. I'm going to go through things I learned. So that's going to be a new segment for the solo pod today. And then I feel like I need to do a really special service announcement. And that is my fave places to eat, but especially my fave thing to get at that place. Because I feel like a lot of people will be like, oh, this is a great place to go eat. And they don't provide the context or the certain dish that I should be getting. So I'm going to give you guys a lot of options, a lot of food options. So be ready for that. And then this segment, this solo pod today, is a lot of TV with TC. I've been watching a lot of TV shows and specifically going to be talking about a true crime TV show. It's called The Jinx, The Life and Death of Robert Durst. So if you're a big true crime junkie, I think, and you haven't seen this, I think you will love this. It'll be right up your alley. So we'll go into that flow. But without further ado, I hope everybody had a great weekend. Hope it was warm. It was a great warm weekend. I'm recording this on Saturday, and I got done with a nice long run. I actually have some goals that I wrote out for myself from like April 5th to May 5th. They're like specific goals and how many times I want to do those. So like, for example, I want to do like 3 long runs, which is 10 miles or more before my half marathon on May the 4th, which is actually kind of fun. So, you know, your boy is going to be repping a Star Wars shirt on May 4th. So, yeah. Anyways, what's funny is, like, I think I may have mentioned this before, but I used to hate running. Hated it when I was in high school. Ask all of my teammates that I've ever played with. I was always last with ladders. If we had to run around the track, anything like that, I was ridiculously slow. And I'm not even exaggerating. I kid you not, I was always last when it came to ladders or any type of team running or team sprint competition, always last. But now as I have entered into my year of 31, I'm trying to think, is there any good athletes that have worn the number 31? I don't really think so. So anyways, I don't play basketball anymore. I do teach it, obviously, and do the basketball skills training side of things, but I just don't play basketball anymore. And to be honest, I don't really want to, because Keeks, I know this is a sensitive subject, but when you tore your ACL, that gave me fear. So that gave me so much fear. So, and then another friend, shout out Josh Reynolds, who has been on the pod and has a great podcast called Let's Ball Folks. He also tore his ACL playing basketball. So those are two dear friends of mine who have torn, or now, excuse me, Achilles, not ACL. They have torn their Achilles, which is worse than an ACL injury from my doctor standpoint here of my medical knowledge. But yeah, no, I can't tear my Achilles. I don't want to. And you know, everybody's listening to this probably like, oh, you could tear your Achilles running. Probably could, but I feel like it's probably lower than playing basketball. And also, I like to, you know, work towards something, and a half marathon is a great little goal and motivator to stay active, because playing basketball is not. And I also love to play golf. I mean, I know that's not as active as running, but man, golf is so fun. It's mentally active. Golf is seriously an addicting sport, because you can have a terrible, terrible round, but when you hit like a birdie or a nice shot, it just is exhilarating. So that's how I'm doing. That was kind of a rant with goals and whatnot. But speaking of goals, my big goal of next year is seriously to go to Disneyland with my guy Keeks. So Keeks, if you're listening, I know you just got back from Star Wars night over there at Disneyland. I have to go next year. It looked like a blast. Keeks reportedly did 30 rides. That is staggering. So, yeah, I got to go to Disneyland. We got to make it happen. We got to do like a sweet film talk, Disneyland trip. Everybody pull up that can. It needs to happen. So I love me some Disneyland. So shout out Keeks to going to Disneyland. It's always a good time. So anyways, let's get into some things that I learned. First and foremost, I saw this post on Facebook, and it was Katy Perry rocking a Legolas shirt. I actually bought the same Star Wars Phantom Menace shirt, Phantom of the Menace shirt from it. I think it's called like American Thrift. Found it on Instagram, had like good reviews, so I bought it. It's like really boxy, but I love XLs. So I was thinking, should I get the larger XL? So I went with the XL, and it's really wide, but honestly, it's great. It's a great graphic tee. But anyway, so Katy Perry was rocking a Legolas shirt, and I was like, hey, let's go, Katy Perry. And then in the comments, it was like, well, duh, she's married to him. I had no idea that Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom are married. News to me. So fantastic for them. I had no idea. Had no idea they were married. I had no idea that was a thing. Like when Kennedy told me that they were married, when I saw the comment and then I mentioned that to Kennedy, she's like, oh yeah, they've been married. Didn't they have a kid together? Don't quote me on that. I don't know if they do. You know what? Let's do it. Let's do a live Google here. Do Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom child? Yeah. Yep. Yeah, in 2020, August. Welcome their daughter, Daisy Dove Bloom. That is actually a really cute name. Daisy Dove Bloom. Nice. That's a good alliteration there. So anyways, love that. In the same vein of Katy Perry, we have Taylor Swift dropped her new album, The Tortured Poets Department, and broke records in 24 hours of streaming on Spotify. No surprise there. I've listened to it. It's pretty good. I need to keep listening to it. I feel like this was an example of Travis Scott when he dropped his new album. I remember listening to it. I was like, eh. And then on like subsequent listens, the listening experience got better and better each time. So, but yeah, I think it's a fine album. It's a lot more somber and a little bit more sad. It doesn't have that poppy like 1984 and 1989. Gosh, here I am claiming me to be a Swiftie. I don't know all her albums. But the yeah, it's just a little bit more somber, but still it's pretty good. And then obviously not as poppy as Lover too. So 1989 and Lover doesn't have that same poppy vibes, but take that as what you will. Also want to give a shout out to Keeks's girl, that is Beyonce. I listened to a little bit of her new album that came out a couple weeks ago. Texas Hold'em is a blast. That's a really fun song. So listen to a little bit of that. I know that's really popular and viral right now, but other songs on the album were really good too. So I got to listen to that a little bit more. So yeah, Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom, they're married. Had no idea. Pretty fun. Also, another thing that I watched is the Ryan Gosling SNL skit. And Ryan Gosling, he has good delivery. If you've never seen The Nice Guys, that is like a picture-perfect comedic delivery, especially with him and Russell Crowe. They are dynamic. Great I mean, you never put those two together to be funny and good on screen, but they are great. So watch The Nice Guys if you haven't. If you're looking for a new comedy, that's probably easily a top five, top 10 comedy movie for me personally. But my favorite skit from the SNL was the Beavis and Butthead with Kenan Thompson. That was so funny. Kenan Thompson is like a politician in the background. Ryan Gosling is dressed up as Beavis, and it was really, really funny. So give that a watch. If you have Peacock, Ryan Gosling SNL, really good. Also, while we're talking about Ryan Gosling, The Fall Guy coming out, Emily Blunt made an appearance, a cameo, to kind of promote The Fall Guy on that SNL skit. And I just got to say this. I think Emily Blunt is way, way too hot for John Krasinski. Like, Emily Blunt is gorgeous. And good for John Krasinski, man, because I think he's just, he's handsome, but man, Emily Blunt, like John Krasinski, you married way up. And so I know he's like our beloved Jim Halpert. He's funny. But man, I think like Emily Blunt's just too hot for John Krasinski. So, but shout out Jim for landing Emily Blunt. And I know they are a very sweet couple, but yeah, I just had that realization. I was like, yeah, man. Okay, another thing I learned, by the way, is there is closed caption on Apple Podcasts. So if you guys are listening to this and you like to listen to closed captions, I doubt you're probably going to be looking at closed captions. But if you go to the episode and you play the episode while you're listening, and you open up the window, in the bottom left-hand corner, it will have like a little comment box with two apostrophes. And you select that, and it has the transcript. So, pretty neat. Pretty neat. Love it. Love that. Okay, lastly, movie news. I saw a post that there is new Lord of the Rings films announced. And while everybody knows I love Middle Earth, it is the cheat code of all March Movie Madness brackets. You know, I'm always down to revisit Lord of the Rings. I'm always happy to see new material. Like Rings of Power, the first season, it was kind of like a B- for me. I'm hopeful that it gets better as seasons come out and they're released. I hope there's just more, you know, attention to detail and just better storytelling. But with new Lord of the Rings films, and it's not going to be a remake, I don't think you should ever remake the original, you know, trilogy of Lord of the Rings with, you know, the Hobbits, Frodo and Sam and the Fellowship and all that. And like same things goes with like Star Wars original trilogy. That should never be remade. So there's a few like things that you should never touch and be remade. And obviously Lord of the Rings, one of them. So if they do new films with new stories, like I would love to have like an Aragorn story. I don't know if he's going to be introduced in Rings of Power. I know that is a little bit early for Aragorn because of Isildur, so that probably won't happen in Rings of Power with Aragorn. But that could be really fun to hear, like how Aragorn, you know, being a Dúnedain and his adventures and becoming, you know, Strider and all that could be interesting. So, but I'm going to throw out a director. I was thinking about this today, and I was like, who could be a really good director for these new Lord of the Rings films? And I have one person in mind, and that person is someone who has directed a handful of heaters for Game of Thrones, and that is Miguel Sapochnik. I think I pronounced that right. Reason being is like Battle of the Bastards in Game of Thrones, one of the highest rated episodes ever. And I think he captures a great job of doing that fantasy scale, that medieval. He did direct one movie. That movie is, I haven't seen it. It was on Apple TV. Kind of a stinker, unfortunately. And that is Finch with Tom Hanks. Never seen it. But he's done three episodes of House of Dragon and obviously Game of Thrones. He's done six episodes, those being The Gift in season 5, Hard Home, which is another big classic. Season 6, he did Battle of the Bastards, of course, and The Winds of Winter, like back-to-back heaters in that. And then season 8, he did The Long Night, which was a pretty good episode. And then he did episode 5, The Bells. While Season 8 always gets stunk on with Game of Thrones, I think that was mainly the writing department there and not the directing. So always the directing, I felt like, has been good in Game of Thrones, just obviously that last season. So anyways, that could be an interesting director to direct the new Lord of the Rings. So let us know some of your thoughts. Let us know some directors that you think that should direct the new Lord of the Rings movies. I would hope Peter Jackson would be behind the helm and be in production. I'm sure he will be. I don't know if he's going to direct. Could be cool. maybe he's a little, you know, burnt out. Maybe he's like got the fire underneath him. He's revitalized that. So, I mean, if Peter Jackson directs the new films, I'm all for it. But I hope he has more care and attention like he did with Lord of the Rings than the Hobbit movies, which felt a little bit of a green screen fest and not many practical effects. So the new Lord of the Rings, please use some practical effects. Okay, everybody, it is time. Remember this. This is around like 15 minutes and 45 seconds. I'm going to give you guys all of my favorite places to eat at and my fave thing to get. So let's most of these are, I'll give you the location where they are. So starting first, one of my favorite spots, this is off of 500 East in American Fork. It is called Kitchen 88. Love Kitchen 88. My favorite things to get there are the chicken tacos. Surprisingly, those are really good. And the tri-tip. The tri-tip is, it comes with like mashed potatoes. Their mashed potatoes are really good. Broccoli florets. And it just feels like a, you know, that pseudo home-cooked meal. So Kitchen 88, chicken tacos and tri-tip. Again, located in American Fork off of 500 East. I got to give myself props here. My brother-in-law always says I know where a good bite is. So trust me on these. These are really good bites. And also want to give props to some, I want to give props. People have introduced me to these certain restaurants. So this isn't just me. I've had a lot of good recommendations myself. And so I always love a good recommendation. The next one is the Smoked Taco. That is in American Fork, kind of near Costco. And then also there's a new one off of PG Boulevard exit. The three tacos to get are the Gringo, which is brisket. It's amazing. OG has pork. And I forgot the name of this, but it's also the tri-tip, the steak. That one's really good. So those three, I forgot what the tri-tip was called. I think it might be called the Fleeing Californian. But those three, the Gringo, OG, and the Fleeing Californian with the tri-tip. Unreal. Okay, moving on. Chubby's. Chubby's, not Cubby's, Chubby's. Like when I was in fourth grade, I was Chubby. Chubby's is fantastic. It is, I mean, you can get anything here. I feel like there's no misses. There's no misses here at Chubby's. But my specific thing to get, and this is a big shout out to Kennedy, it is the buffalo chicken salad. Yes, I get a salad when I go to Chubby's. But hear me out. It is that good. So, and you got to get the sweet. So you want to make sure you get the buffalo chicken, the sweet salad. I get a full bowl. In that, it comes with the buffalo chicken, salad, of course, lettuce, duh, bacon bits, blue cheese, surprisingly, which actually complements really well, and the sauce that they use, and I get ranch as well. The sauce that they use on the chicken with the buffalo, but the sweet sauce, it's got a little kick to it, so it's a little spicy. Always, always order a side of beer-battered fries from Chubby's. Unreal. And actually, their Chubby sauce is better than the fry sauce and the ketchup. So get the Chubby sauce. And then I love getting their scones. So that is one of my favorite items to get. Next up, Pizzeria Limone. I love the Viola and the Margherita Napoli. On that same vein, I'm going to go to Slab as the next pizza. I love the Thai chicken with pineapple. And both of these spots, you can't go wrong with pepperoni. You can never go wrong with pepperoni. Actually, recently, I had to do an overnight HOSA competition with my school, and we had like a pizza pie cafe. And while, you know, pizza pie, it's a just cafe, endless pizza, endless just carbs. I just went for the pepperoni. I didn't really want to try my hand at the other pizzas. I do like the dessert pizzas though. Those are good. But pepperoni, you just can't go wrong. But these are specialty pizzas. The Viola has like blackberries from Pizzeria Limone and prosciutto. Nice. It's nice. And then the Margherita Napoli is just a regular margarita. Don't get confused. The margarita at Pizzeria Limone is not a margarita. You got to get the Margherita Napoli. And then Slab, the Thai chicken with pineapple. That is good. Okay, R&R Barbecue. Pork nachos. My brother-in-law introduced me to those. Those are fantastic. And I sometimes just like to get the chicken thigh with the mashed potatoes and mac and cheese. So the pork nachos are great. Okay, one of our all-time favorites between Keeks and I is Jersey Mike's. Always go with the club sub. I recently discovered to get on rosemary bread. Unreal. And I get the pepper relish also. I get a little bit of pepper relish, and I go light juices. Oh my gosh, how did I miss this? Another guys, everybody, pizza's my favorite food. It's just my favorite. So we got another pizza recommendation. Marco's Pizza, specifically the pepperoni Magnifico. And I normally like to have hot honey, my own hot honey that I add to it, the Mike's hot honey. So get that. It's fantastic. Wingstop, just a couple more. Louisiana Rub and Spicy Korean Barbecue, 10-piece, bone-in, no boneless. Unreal. This is for a little bit of a higher-end night. That is Sol Agave. That is located in American Fork, right by the Cinemark in the same complex. I love the lobster enchiladas. Holy crap. Like the sauce they use for lobster enchiladas, so good. And then recently, this was for Kennedy's birthday. We went there. I got the Mari Tierra, the surf and turf, with the filet mignon. It's like the lobster enchilada, but they use a different sauce. And of course, with the filet mignon in there, amazing. Might even like it more than the lobster enchiladas. So if you're celebrating something and you're down to ball out a little bit, we don't go here often, but when we do, it's for like a celebration. Those are the two, lobster enchiladas and the surf and turf, the Mari Tierra. And you have to get their butter cake. Their butter cake, top three dessert of all time. Seriously. And I'm a big chocolate guy. So for a butter cake to take the top spot, that speaks volumes. It has like a custard and it has like this flaky, crumbly stuff on it. Very good. Okay, lastly, I'm going to give you guys my Chipotle order because I feel like Chipotle has come from the depths from their E. coli scare years ago. Chipotle's back on the rise, and it is here to stay, guys. It's here to stay. So this is what I do. I walk in. I tell the people hello, and I introduce myself, and I let them know here's my order: chicken burrito bowl. Okay, we are going to ask for two tortillas. We'll come back to that. Get the chicken burrito bowl. You're going to get a scoop of each rice, brown rice and white rice. You're going to ask for the fajitas. They always forget those, but get those bell pepper and onions. Worth it. I always get a scoop of black and pinto beans each. My choice of meat is the chicken. I always get the corn, the sour cream, the cheese. I get mild sauce. And then lately I've been adding a side of medium sauce. I add the lettuce, and then everything's compiled up in that burrito bowl. Comes out to a little over $12, maybe even cheaper. I don't remember the exact price. With your two tortillas, you're going to take one, put it on a plate, use the foil bowl, the cover. You're going to just take your spoon right down the middle of that burrito bowl, and you're going to scoop everything into that tortilla, mix it up together. You have your nice burrito. And then that other half you're going to save for the next day. So you have two burritos for basically $6 each. Steal of a deal. You're welcome. So that is your sweet food talk there, everybody. Wow, that took me like 7 minutes to describe and explain all those food choices. So you're good. You are good for like the next month. And I can't wait. Can't wait for you guys to try these. Let me know what you think. And give me some of your favorite food recommendations. I love receiving food recommendations, trying it, and loving it. So a lot of these are other food recommendations I've had from people and loved it. So, okay. Let's wrap it up, everybody. Let's wrap it up with some TV with TC. This was a fun segment we used to do, but you know, since it's a solo pod and Keeks talked about Civil War last week, I'm gonna talk about some TV. First and foremost, I think the best streaming service for TV right now, that's hard. I think for right now, with new releases and new content, I think it's going to be Apple TV. I think HBO Max has the best classics and, you know, the best history with all those classics. And they're dropping some okay shows, which I'll talk about here, because The Jinx is on HBO Max. But Apple TV... Recently watched The Dynasty, the New England Patriots. I don't know if I talked about this before, but it talks about the dynasty, duh, from the title. It shows Bob Kraft, the owner, in good light. And it kind of shows him being, you know, the good guy in this. And really, you kind of just, you kind of hate Bill Belichick after. I've never really cared for Bill Belichick, but like there's some things that he does and how he handles things that you're like, oh, dude. And even Tom Brady, listen, I don't care for the Patriots. I'm glad they beat the Seahawks back in 2014 when they were going to repeat. I will never understand how Marshawn Lynch never got the ball to run. That was just flabbergasted. And they mentioned that, which is cool because each episode kind of goes in chronological order of their Super Bowl runs and the challenges and trials they went through and how it became exciting to like a point of expectation where they had to win. And if they didn't win, even if they had a good season and they didn't win the Super Bowl, it was just like, oh, this sucks. Like, this is not worth it. So, and then Bill Belichick, man, and Tom Brady, their relationship just soured. So if you're a big football fan, if you love the Patriots, or even if you don't care, or if you like Tom Brady, whatever it is, give this a watch. I think it's 10 episodes. Let me double check that. But yeah, I really liked it. I mean, it's got good ratings. Yeah, 10 episodes. You get interviews from most of the players. And yeah, it's just, I think the best episodes are the first four episodes. And the last episode is pretty good. But it really sheds a light on Bob Kraft being the good guy. It kind of paints the picture that Bill Belichick isn't the good guy. And he's even like reported that he didn't love the documentary. So you have to watch and you'll be like, oh yeah, I totally get it. Why? So yeah, The Dynasty, I would give it, it's hard for me to grade documentaries because it's like, if I like the information that is given, that's great. But some of the styles of the documentaries can be good, but I feel like this was, it showed like real game footage, like restored and like high definition, good interviews, showed good backstory. So I would honestly probably give it an A sweep. So good time. The next show, I mentioned this recently, anime, Jujutsu Kaisen. I finished it. Very cool. Jujutsu Kaisen is awesome. So if you like Demon Slayer, if you like Naruto, right up your alley. I mean, Jujutsu Kaisen has similarities to both shows, and it has, I call it like the hybrid of Demon Slayer and Jujutsu and Naruto. So if you watch Naruto, you can see the similarities. If you've seen Demon Slayer, I mean, they're basically trying to exorcise demons and cursed spirits. So, I mean, definitely cut from the same cloth there. But cool story, has some good twists in it, and the fight scenes are epic. Like, they're really epic. So, Jujutsu Kaisen, worth the watch. And there's like only 40 episodes out right now, so it's very digestible to watch. The next show I watched, that I just watched the first episode, this is a popular show on Amazon Prime, that is Fallout. I actually listened to the podcast with Jonathan Nolan, Christopher Nolan's brother. He directs it. He helps write it. He directs three episodes. And as you know, he helped write Interstellar, Memento, some of these great, and The Prestige, some of these great movies that he's done with his brother, Christopher Nolan. And he did Westworld. I haven't seen Westworld, but I heard Westworld's really good. But he was on the podcast Armchair Expert, with Dax Shepard and Monica. And he just talks about his filming career and his writing ability and what he does. And then he promotes his show Fallout. So I watched one episode. I played the game, just one game, Fallout 4. I actually really liked Fallout 4. And the first episode's pretty good. I mean, it piqued my interest for sure. However, there was like a 3-minute segment where it is just pure slow-mo. It was a little jarring. I was like, okay, this is someone like Zack Snyder, maybe a little too much. But other than the slow-mo, that was like a little extra. I actually really, really liked it. So I'm going to watch it. That show, I think, has 8 episodes. Man, come on. Let's see. 9 episodes. Really? 9 episodes? 8 episodes. So 8 episodes, both like each episode like an hour long roughly. So yeah, love seasons that have like 10 episodes long. So yeah, Fallout, first episode was good. Okay, let's do it. Let's get into our true crime. Let's put on our true crime hats. I am not a big true crime junkie. I do appreciate the occasional story, the occasional podcast. I listen to the Cold podcast with Josh Powell and Susan Powell that occurred, and the murder on Susan Powell that occurred here in Utah. That is tragic. That is like one of the best produced true crime podcasts I've heard. If you've listened to it, if you're interested in true crime, that one will just, yeah, that will rattle you. So, I feel like true crime is something that is fascinating that we, as a consumer, as Americans or wherever we are, digest, because it's so tragic what these victims go through. And then on the flip side, we're trying to understand why. Why did the person do that? Why did they commit such an act? So I don't know. There's one true crime podcast I was listening to, and I was like, it was too graphic. Like I had to stop. I only got through one episode. So The Jinx, The Life and Deaths of Robert Durst. And the reason why we got onto this was Kennedy was actually listening to Flightless Bird. That's another good podcast. It's kind of underneath the same cloth with Dax Shepard and them. But they were talking about true crime, and this is one of the infamous true crime that got mentioned. And so she gave this a watch, and it only has... Season 1 has 6 episodes, and they are dropping new episodes tomorrow. Well, on Sunday. So each week they're going to drop new episodes. But this story is kind of interesting because Andrew Jarecki, he's the director of the documentary, but he also directed a movie called All Good Things in 2010. And it stars Ryan Gosling and Kirsten Dunst. And it talks about a real estate icon who is Robert Durst and is suspected of killing his wife, who disappeared in 1982. So that's the premise of the movie, but they changed the name to not Robert Durst, but Ryan Gosling plays Robert Durst, but his name is David Marks. So essentially what happened is after this movie, Robert Durst, that the movie's about, saw the movie and he knew it was about him. And so he calls the director and he's like, hey, like I want to do an interview and kind of shed some light on like my side of the story and things like that. So that's how things unravel. And that's how the director, Andrew Jarecki, it's pretty fascinating how all these dots connect, and he gets to talk to Robert Durst. So essentially what he is he's this real estate icon, and he is the key suspect of 3 murders. One murder involves his wife, well, the disappearance of his wife, and where did she go in 1982? And then the next one involves his close friend, Susan Berman. And the next murder that he's linked to is Morris Black, which Morris Black is his neighbor. And so essentially what happens in the first episode, to kind of give you guys, to get your feet wet a little bit, is somebody, I think it was a young boy that found bags by the bay in Galveston, Texas. And in those bags, somebody noticed a torso. So immediately call the police. The police come and investigate it. And in the bags, they find Morris Black dismembered with, you know, all of his body parts in these bags. Somehow, some way, they find evidence that lead Morris Black back to his home, and they're able to ID him, and so they go investigate his home. His neighbor is this mute woman, which so happens to be Robert Durst disguising himself as this woman, this mute woman that I think was like Cindy Finer or something like that was the name, the alias that he used. And so that's how the first episode is kind of unraveled. And then he has to stand trial about this murder with Morris Black and how he describes it as self-defense. It is just, you will like yell at the TV while watching some of these moments that unfold in the show. So I know I'm being pretty vague about the show because I would seriously, if you like true crime, if that's something that fascinates you, and this is one of the better true crime documentaries I've seen, and it's produced really well, it's directed really well, and I mean they interview and talk to Robert Durst like each episode, and it's a little bone chilling. So give that a watch if that's kind of up your alley. I would recommend it. And it is just a little nerve-wracking. So again, it is called The Jinx, and that is called The Life and Deaths of Robert Durst. So new episodes are dropping, so now's the time to watch it. It's kind of crazy. This was dropped in 2015, and now in 2024, they're dropping new episodes. So, it's pretty wild. But anyways, I hope you guys had a great weekend and have a great week. Call to action. Haven't done one for a while. Go check out one of those spots I recommended to eat at. Worth your time. They are very good. And if you didn't like it, just let me know. Let me know. And that will make me sad, but... You know, maybe your taste buds are off. Who knows? Teach their own. And then, we'll record a nice little take next weekend with Keeks and I back at it. Don't know what we're going to talk about. We'll get to the Q draft. We got to finish up our alphabet draft. And then, there's some good movies coming out. So maybe we'll do most anticipated for the summer and the rest of the year, because I know there's some good flicks coming out. But until then, everybody have a great week and stay sweet. Sweet.